Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for January 15th, 2010.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
This week, do you ever eat again even if you're already full? Scientists are studying a hormone that may be responsible. Also, we'll tell you about some high school students in Manhattan who teamed up to expose food fraud with simple DNA analysis. First, though, Suzanne Bard investigates an urban food legend in our latest Science Update reality check.
There's a widespread belief that the gelatin you find in certain desserts comes from horse or cow hooves. Hooves contain the protein keratin, which also makes up your hair and nails, and gelatin was once even marketed as a treatment for brittle nails. But as it turns out, gelatin is actually made from a different type of protein.
Gelatin is a protein that comes from a three-stranded protein called collagen that's used to make connective tissue, like your ligaments.
That's Purdue food scientist Connie Weaver. Collagen is the most common protein found in the body. So while gelatin may not come from hooves, it does come from some other somewhat unappetizing body parts.
So commercially, to get your Jell-O products, they take some collagen-rich source, like hides or demineralized bones and skin, that sort of thing, and soak it so that you extract out that protein and it unravels it into gelatin molecules. And they clean up the impurities and then they dry it down until it's granular pulverized and you can make the Jell-O products from that.
She adds that gelatin isn't a very good source of protein because it lacks key amino acids that the body needs. And if your favorite urban science legend needs a reality check, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT and we'll look into it.
Thanks, Suzanne. And remaining on our food theme, do you sometimes find yourself reaching for fattening treats even if you've just eaten?
And everything else should be telling your body that you're full. But then again, when the dessert cart goes by and you're at the restaurant, all of a sudden you're interested in eating again.
That's endocrinologist Jeffrey Zigman of the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center. He and his colleagues did a series of experiments with mice to find out if a hormone called ghrelin,
which is produced primarily by cells located within the stomach and the rest of the gastrointestinal tract,
might be responsible for causing cravings so soon after eating. So they administered ghrelin to one group of mice and gave a placebo injection of saline to another group. Then they let the mice search for tasty, high-fat food pellets, but they progressively made it harder and harder for the mice to get the pellets until they would eventually give up. Except the mice who got the ghrelin didn't give up.
We found that they were more motivated to obtain those pellets of food than animals that instead of getting ghrelin got saline. And so this seems to indicate that when ghrelin levels are high, that it can motivate mice and probably also humans to obtain rewarding food.
He says mice that had been injected with the extra ghrelin hormone also spent more time on the side of a chambered cage that previously had high-fat food treats in it, even if the chamber was now empty.
They were satiated. They had eaten normal amounts of food. They were not feeling starved. We gave them an injection of ghrelin, and they went to the side where they had learned to find the high-fat diet pellet reward.
Researchers like Zigman are hard at work trying to understand how the hormone acts on the brain's pleasure centers, and this research could lead to better treatments for obesity in the future. And in other food news, University of Texas researchers have isolated a protein from the root of the licorice plant and found that it's effective in preventing Pseudomonas infections in mice. These same bacteria often infect people with burns and can infect the lungs of people with cystic fibrosis. The hope is that the finding will lead to effective new treatments for these dangerous infections.
And scientists at Tufts University report that the calorie counts that restaurants display for their menu items are unreliable. On average, the restaurant counts were 18% lower than the actual number of calories. The researchers say that often the portion sizes served were larger than the ones used on the calorie displays, and sometimes contained ingredients that added extra calories.
Thanks, Suzanne. In our final food story today, a team of high school super sleuths recently used a technology called DNA barcoding to uncover some surprising cases of food fraud.
If you're in the habit of buying gourmet food products, you might want to think twice about what they really contain. High school students Matt Cost and Brenda Tan recently tested the DNA of food items in their cupboards and at local supermarkets in New York City.
DNA barcoding is basically a way of identifying specimens using a specific gene, so you don't have to go through the whole sequence. It's a very efficient way of identifying things.
With help from researchers at Rockefeller University and the American Museum of Natural History, they determined that 11 out of 66 products were actually mislabeled.
The real first surprise was when we tested sheep's milk cheese. The thing that surprised us was that it actually just contained cow DNA. So that was when we first started to think how many products are out there that are mislabeled. A delicacy that was labeled as dried shark actually was Nile perch, which is a much cheaper fish found in Africa. Sturgeon caviar was actually just Mississippi paddle fish. We tested dog treats too. It was labeled as venison, but it was actually just beef.
Tan says regulatory agencies like the FDA should consider using the method to protect consumers from food fraud. The students also analyzed the DNA of other items they found in their own apartments.
We were basically testing to see what actually contained DNA in our environment, testing everything from insect legs to bongo drums to cheese products, and we were really surprised to find that DNA was in fact in most of those. Some of the items we found were a feather duster that had ostrich DNA inside of it, pet hair, human hair. And I even tested a dried deer antler, just a bit of it, and it came back with DNA. I guess the overall message I took from the experiment was that DNA is incredibly resilient, and it's everywhere in our environment.
And the students believe that doing an investigation like this isn't as hard as you might think.
A lot of high school students should think about doing science projects like these because it's really easy and it's really simple.
Thanks for that report, Suzanne. Well, that's all we have for you this week. But if you can't wait for next week's podcast, you can get a daily dose of science by listening to the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. And remember, if you have a science question for us, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, you will win one of our brand new Science Update mugs. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.